This is Emad. Emad is very rich, and he wants to put that money to good use. So just a few days ago, he presented something called Stable Diffusion through an initiative that he finances called Stability AI. Stability AI is supposed to be a third pillar. There's industry, there's academia, and now there's something else. Remember when OpenAI started and they said they wanted to bring AI to the masses, to democratize the technology and all that kind of stuff? Well, Emad wants to do that, but for real. So this is an interview with Emad. He's gonna tell us what he wants to achieve with Stability AI, how he plans to go forward so that he's not the only one that's financing this admittedly very giant operation currently, and what you can do wherever you might be, an academic, person from industry, or just someone who's interested and wants to do something in the AI space, and you need some compute, you need some help, you need some time. Stability AI might be the place for you. If you haven't seen the outputs of Stable Diffusion yet, the first system coming out of this initiative, they are absolutely amazing. And not only that, the model is small and fast, it runs on a consumer GPU, and it creates pictures in about 3 seconds. And the model is released open source, fully up to you what to do with it. Very cool. So I don't want to stretch this intro too long. Please listen to what Emad has to say. I'm sure you'll be very interested. Hey everyone, today I'm here with Emad Mustak, who is, I have to say, I was contacted by Emad through a mutual friend, and it was very intriguing. So all I know is that Emad wants to tell us about exciting opportunities, essentially an alternative in research to big labs and big companies doing research, essentially a third door, a third path of people having access to resources to do current deep learning research. Emad, welcome. What brings you here?
Hi, Yannick. I think that we're at a super exciting time in artificial intelligence. Everything seems like it's about to take off. And I'm here to say, you know, let's all come together and make sure that it gets out to as many people as possible, and we unlock all the creativity that people have in front of them. So basically, I set up an organization called Stability AI to remove many of the barriers for independent and academic researchers to build some of these new models that we're seeing. Kind of in the early days of Eleuther AI and Lyon and others, we heard that compute and kind of funding were a key restriction. So everyone has basically three choices. You go into academia, you don't have compute access, and then you have to jump to big tech, and then you have 59-page NDAs, and you're working in a corporate environment for product teams, or you have your own startup, and really running your own startup is terrible, and it's not something for most academics or researchers, although of course some of them will hopefully be very successful doing legal AI and things like that, eh? I thought there was going to be a better way, because this type of technology that we're seeing, 80% of research dollars is going into next generation AI, and it really has the potential to improve humanity. And so that's why with Stability AI, basically, we said, can we solve compute? Can we solve funding? And can we bring people together to build cool stuff? And we've actually achieved and managed that when we go live on the 8th of August. I don't know if this will be before or after. I think hopefully after. It all will be revealed, but I'm happy to discuss everything that we've done to date to address these and what's coming down the pipeline.
So you say solve compute, solve funding essentially means money. So Stability AI, what's the source of funding, or what's the money flow into this organization, and how is that money spent?
So initially it was primarily my funding. So I was lucky enough to have a good career as a hedge fund manager. Then in 2020, 2021, I led the Collective and Augmented Intelligence Against COVID-19 initiative launched at Stanford to use the COVID-19 data set and the backing of the WHO, UNESCO, and World Bank to organize the world's COVID knowledge and make it understandable. So I've kind of got lots of connections. So I pulled them together, primarily my own kind of funding. And basically what we've done is we've built a 4,000 A100 cluster for open source artificial intelligence with the support of Amazon, but no control by them. So that ranks above Joule's Booster as potentially the 10th fastest public supercomputer. And Eleuther AI and Lyon have been basically building on top of that some of the most cool models that I've ever seen that are about to be released across modalities. I was about to say, we've done this as a community to date. The next stage is even more exciting. We're partnering up with countries and leading institutions to take this to the next level. Far more compute, far more funding, and most of all, coordination, so that, again, intelligence and creativity can be unlocked to build systems, both for countries, communities, and, you know, for humanity, that are open and not closed.
Is there a comparison to maybe something that exists? Could it be compared to something like CERN or the International Space Station? What is it that you're aiming for when you say we're going for countries, we're going for collaboration?
So we already partner with the United Nations. We're doing national level partnerships with, for example, leading groups and institutions from India to Singapore to others, from universities to leading media conglomerates, telcos, the governments themselves, to build national level models and data sets. So we have the plurality of kind of being around this. This is kind of like we kicked it off as CERN, but from a Discord group, probably through AI. And then it evolved into Lion, OpenBioML, and a bunch of these others, bringing together really talented researchers. And then mine and my team's responsibility was to get them the resources they needed to unlock this. The next stage is a bit more institutional, but we really hope it keeps this kind of community vibe that we've got and this community structure that we've built.
Community vibe, I think, is a good keyword. There are people who just come forward by themselves who want to build things, who are quite clearly engaged. A lot of people in Eleuther AI, also people from Lion. Yet when it, I think, gets more public that there is a lot of money, that there is funding, compute, and so on, there is potentially going to be an influx of a lot of people with a lot of ideas and promises. How do you select who gets access to your resources and what can be done with it?
So currently I am GPU emperor. So kind of I decide which projects and things go forward. That's not sustainable. So instead what we're doing is we're, again, without trying to kill the vibe of places like Eleuther, Lion, OpenBioML, and other communities that we've got coming for audio and contrastive learning, robotics, etc., set up processes by which grants can be given quickly for small research, and then we can really think about what the bigger runs and things like that are all about, with a focus and a mission of, you know, what's cool and what's useful for humanity. Stability AI itself, on the other side, you know, we are kind of commercializing these. We are a for-profit entity, but with a mission-based thing, so a benefit corporation. And that will inform some of it, but not all of it. So it's this balance of how do you have R&D and academic and independent, and then how do you productize that so it gets to a billion people? And we've got a very interesting case study that cracks next week around that, and I'll have to discuss with Stable Diffusion.
What is Stable Diffusion?
Stable Diffusion is the last of this series of kind of diffusion models. It's the one that basically breaks through on quality, speed, and cost to enable anyone to create images. So DALL-E 2 was a fantastic experience. Stable Diffusion is about 30 times more efficient and runs on a consumer graphics card for DALL-E 2 level image quality. So this was a combination of various groups such as ConfViz from Heidelberg, who came up with VQGAN and latent diffusion. Our lead generative AI coder, Catherine Krausen, Rivers Have Wings, kind of a whole range of other kind of famous characters within the community to say, how can we build an efficient model that can scale to a billion people to enable them to be creative? And so that release is, touch wood, on the 8th or 9th of August. And we'll be releasing it open source along with instructions how to run it locally in the cloud and others. So what we've got is, you know, Dream, you can see some Gal Gadot's there, right? Tesla Roadster on the streets of, where are you, Yannick?
Zurich, Switzerland.
Streets of Zurich, right?
And you don't even need to dream that up. The streets here are filled with Teslas, I can tell you.
They're filled with Teslas, right? DALL-E 2 is, sorry, my internet's a bit slow. Maybe we'll redo this demo with faster internet. Basically, this generates images in about 3 seconds on 5 gigabytes of VRAM, whereas other image models required like 40 gigabytes or 20 gigabytes of VRAM, and they're super slow. So now it's my internet that's actually slower than the actual bot. So maybe we'll redo that demo in a bit. Oh, there we see, it's coming. So I'm on dial-up right now, it seems. And I can't keep up with the AI.
That gives me nostalgia feelings, I have to say. The line by line rendering of images.
The line by line rendering of images, exactly. It's pretty fun.
If you're watching this and you're younger than 25, this is what the internet was like in the early days.
That's an internet. So there you got your lovely Tesla in Zurich, right? But cool. You know, this is an image model that we built off Lion 5B. The Lion guys were obviously here a while ago, very close kind of working with us. Some of them are actually Stability employees as well. You know, taking that 250 terabytes of data, we compress it down to 2 gigabytes, kind of via this diffusion model type of thing. I mean, by the time this goes out, probably everyone will be able to play with it locally or kind of in the cloud, etc. Because we really want to unlock this wave of innovation, you know, because I think that's how it happens. Like, I don't know if Aluth has made the announcement yet, but GPT-Neo and GPT-Neo-X and J have been downloaded 25 million times now by developers, right? That can really catalyze ecosystems for development against, you know, the more, shall we say, paternalistic instincts of some of the bigger AI players who refuse to release images, sorry, model the code or the weights. So like I said, Stable Diffusion is a very interesting one because we could have kept it closed source. You know, it's a step forward. It's 30 times more efficient than DALL-E 2. You can have comparable image quality and, you know, you saw the raw output. But why would you if you can instead make it go from millions of people using this technology to billions of people using this technology? That's far more interesting. And again, I think this is the type of thing we need to do, make this technology really usable. So don't think 175 billion parameter language models or 540 billion parameter models are really usable for the vast majority of humanity.
So you mentioned this open source, closed source, paternalistic, and so on. I agree there is a paternalistic element, but there's also a PR and a legal element, right? If DALL-E 2 was accessible to everyone and so on, and people find, oh, I just need to enter this prompt to make it produce something that's really horrible, that may produce a backlash, right? Saying, well, these models are clearly not fit for release and so on. What is your sort of opinion if someone comes to you and says, your model produces horrible output, here I can show you, what do you say to those people?
I would say, of course, humanity is horrible and they use technology in horrible ways and good ways as well. But the reality is, for this particular output, the vast majority of people are creatively constipated. We have been conditioned to consume constantly by social media and big tech giants, and they want us to consume more according to their parameters. We see a model like this, like a we've had 3-year-olds use it in refugee camps all the way to 90-year-olds. You know, we're putting it in mental health settings and other things. The benefits far outweigh any negativity. And the reality is that people need to get used to these models because they're coming one way or another. And restricting them means that you become the arbiter. So as an example, we took some programmers out of Russia because they spoke out against the government there, you know? And some came from the Ukraine as well, and we fast-tracked their residency in the UK. You can't use the word Ukraine in DALL-E 2, you know, because it's political. Then as well, If you type in sumo wrestler, they randomly add into the prompts, because they do pre-prompt and post-prompt processing, a diversity filter. So you get Asian female sumo wrestlers, because they randomly add ethnicities. There's nothing you can do about that, right? If you want to create a localized version that, you know, is more respective to your culture, for example, in India, you can't do that because you can't access the model, right? And they don't have the capacity to let you fine-tune it. So instead, what they're saying is AI for us and our clients, because it's expensive to run these things, not for everyone else, you know? What they're really saying is we don't trust you as humanity because we know better. I think that's wrong. You know, I actually trust people. I trust them to be weird and nasty in some cases because, you know, 1%, 0.1% of people are weird. Many people on this call are weird. You know, I'm weird. But at the same time, like I said, I think that this is positive technology for humanity and it should diffuse because then the pace of innovation to make it beneficial as well as to combat negative uses is far greater.
You previously said Stability AI employee. So not only do you give grants in terms of hardware and what to run, you do pay people to actually work part-time or full-time. Can you specify a little bit of what just what being an employee at Stability AI means?
Yeah, so, you know, different people needed different things. We come from all diverse backgrounds. Some of them needed the equivalent to their jobs at Google or Microsoft when they left. So we pay competitive salaries, high bonuses, and in our contract, no IP. All the work can be open sourced by any developer. Similarly, we have set it up so as we run APIs and our models, there's a revenue share for all developers, even if they don't work at Stability, who created the models. So 10% of revenue goes to this pool, half of which goes to the creators of the models and data sets, and half of which goes to a communal pool where everyone involved in Stability, as an employee or otherwise, which I'll come to in a second, basically awards it to the most interesting research so that you can actually have a career from, you know, doing interesting research for open source. And it doesn't have to be commercial, you know? So the commercial is the running the APIs. The non-commercial is this other 5% of revenue. We also do fellowships. So we're sponsoring a whole bunch of coders such as, you know, Lucid Rains, Phil Wang, through GitHub sponsors. And we ask, what do you need to be comfortable? We're going to fund 100 PhDs in AI over the next year. And that comes with Compute for Academia, small and large as well. And we hope that will be a community within our communities and across communities that can coordinate global academic research. And we support as well. So, for example, we have mental health support, we have grant writers, we have paper writers and other things just to enable people to get on with what's interesting and be able to build in the open. We haven't been in the open until now because we've been building and also because it's quite fun to announce and release all this. But we hope that we can actually build in the open and change some of these incentive structures by unlocking people, be it grants, be it fellowships, be it PhD funding, be it part-time jobs, full-time jobs, or just being members of the community and getting prizes from this kind of pool that will hopefully become very large. We also have a charity as well, and that's where the PhD funding and other thing comes from. So charitable arm.
What keeps you from becoming, like, going the same route as, let's say, OpenAI? And all these companies from DeepMind, they have it, you know, we want to make AI for everyone. They've been for profit and very closed from the beginning. OpenAI actually started out with, we want to democratize, we want everyone to be accessible, to give us money and we know what's good for you, right? What keeps you, like, there's clearly a pull, right? There's clearly demands coming with any money that flows in. It's clearly attractive to sort of keep your, let's say, leading position, to attract more researchers and so on. How do you prevent yourself from, let's say, succumbing to that pull of going closed source, going profit?
Well, I think it, you know, OpenAI, one of the founders who's left, I won't mention on this call, maybe we can mention it privately, said that kind of what we're creating is what he wanted to do when OpenAI was founded. It was just the wrong time. So obviously, you know, they had to scale up compute because you had this kind of stack more layers type thing. And there were all the issues that happened in 2019 with Elon Musk, etc., that basically led to a bailout and then a change in the entire corporate structure, and then a change in focus. So become more productized, even though they're not actually product focused. DeepMind had a bit of a different kind of thing. But again, they were at the wrong time, because what you've seen is these models have lots of promise and they're powerful, but they haven't had that technological diffusion curve, right? What is the killer app? Natural language processing and kind of these large language models. They were tackling a problem that I think was already 85% to 90% solved. And now we've gone to 95% solved. And they're large and bulky. Image, I think, is the killer app. Because when you look at this, it's a wonder for people that they can suddenly create rather than consume. And that's something that's across the board. You know, the comparators are Snapchat or TikTok, where you can create. There's Pokemon Go, you know, gacha games and these kinds of things. But it'll be integrated into so many different areas because it's got fast enough, cheap enough, and good enough. And like I said, like this model file that we're releasing, only a couple of gigabytes. You know, it can fit on 8 gigabytes of VRAM. That's crazy. You know, like there'll be bigger models and better models like Imogen, but this inflection point is what makes our business sustainable. It allows us to do things like, say, you can work just for open source to our employees. It allows us to do things like revenue share, where we'll be able to attract the best employees, because if you believe this is going to 1 billion people, you'll have more than that. And then finally, the structure that we've employed is kind of one whereby we're partnering with various kind of governments and leading institutions so that we build AI for each nation and communities in each nation. So we capture that cultural diversity. So again, it's very community focused. It's very oriented. There's a good business model. We've negotiated massive deals so we can be profitable out the door versus most money losing big corporations. There's a few extra things in there that I can't discuss right now. But we really kind of laid it out to be the right company at the right time to coordinate this all. And then hopefully, as this goes, this becomes an independent, more decentralized thing. Originally, we wanted to be Web3 with tokens and all that, but you don't need that. You know, you just need to have a good community that keeps you in check. And you need to build in the open and do things in the open, which I hope we'll manage to do over the next year.
How can people find you? How can people find your models and work with your stuff? And how can people who are maybe interested in taking part in the community and contributing in some way find you?
So we have our website, Stability AI, that will be updated when we launch publicly next week. You know, join our communities at Eleuther AI or Lion or others that we're going to accelerate and really, you know, put a lot more structure around. OpenBioML, Harmony for Music, CARP for Contrastive Learning. You know, we've got education and many other things coming down the pipeline. Yeah, and I think it's just community-based. Be active in the community. You will get rewarded with, you know, money and status and all sorts of other things if you do interesting stuff. You want to join Stability, there are roles for exceptional programmers to come and help coordinate this. You want your PhD funded, we will announce the PhD funding program in a couple of months. You know, you want to tell us how to do this properly, open to advice. You know, like, I don't think we have all the answers, but I hope we're kind of getting there. And I think certainly we'll make a difference through this really flexible supercomputer cluster, if nothing else. Again, it's a big, big cluster. And it's available for the coolest research that can make an impact on humanity. And we'll get more. We have far bigger supercompute lined up as well. So I think that's super exciting.
What is the type of person that you're looking for in a contributor? And what is maybe a type of person that you're not looking for?
So the type of person we're looking for a contributor are those that believe in open source AI and not open source AI necessarily, but, you know, open source innovation. You know, like, we're bringing this technology to make humanity better. You can make profits, that's fine, right? But I think it should be secondary to just, is this going to make a difference? You know, I don't mind if people are corporate, etc., but it needs to be people that integrate with the community, can work well with people from a whole bunch of different backgrounds, and just are generally inquisitive, that want to push the boundaries. I think some of the biggest breakthroughs we've had have been from non-traditional backgrounds. You know, I don't know if you've interviewed the Eleuther AI founders. None of them have a computer science degree, you know? And yet they kind of managed to achieve such great things. Now, obviously, there's conjecture for alignment, and we're pushing some of the capability stuff there. So, you know, I think what we don't want to see is just people who are just highly corporatized, kind of stuck in one way of thinking, and want to see how to make a quick buck out of all of this. Okay, you can make money, but so what? We're at this pivotal point where this technology can maximize humanity's potential, or it can be corporatized and be used as a method of centralization and control. Which side do you want to be on? Yeah. Now you can make money on both sides.
Is there anything else that you want to get out to people that you want to let people know that we haven't talked about yet?
No, I mean, like I said, we've got an amazing pipeline and roadmap that we have to put out into open. So, you know, work on everything from audio diffusion, video diffusion, 3D. I mean, I think in particular, if people want to try and create the metaverse, the Ready Player One minus the microtransaction or holodeck, we're going to aim to do that. And I would say that probably our killer app, the one that I want to make most, and I'd invite anyone to contact me if they want to build this with me, is I want to destroy PowerPoint. I think the combination of language, image, kind of contrastive and other models means that if we work super hard in a few years, we'll never need to make a slide deck again. Tell the computer, tell it how you want it adjusted. It'll be beautiful each time. And think about how much happiness we'll bring to the world that way.
No more stock images of little drawn people going like, Very cool.
Yeah, or, you know, dragging and dropping little bits on the slides and, you know, refining them. Just tell the computer, it'll create the slide deck for you. Tell it how you want to adjust it, it'll adjust it. So much happiness brought to the world. I think that's another thing as well, like academia, companies, all these things. I think too many people in our community are unhappy. And obviously there's a lot of neuroatypical people within our community, right? I'm neuroatypical myself, you know? I want to see how we can have a happier community that supports each other, because otherwise there are these big highs and lows and things like that. And I don't think people focus enough on that. That's what I focus on with my engineers and what I'm trying to focus on in the community, because then people will be more productive, sure, but they'll also be more content. So I know it sounds a bit fuzzy, but I think it's really important and people don't pay enough attention to it.
Wise words.
So actually, maybe we should mention one of the projects we have, 7cups.com. It's something that we help kind of accelerate. You can go and you can chat to someone, so you don't even have the pressure of talking to someone online who's been trained in active listening. And we have studies showing it's as effective as taking Prozac, but then, and it's free, and for $150 a month, you can talk to a qualified mental health therapist. So we've got 468,000 volunteers in 180 countries, helping 80 million people each month, so I'd recommend people try that. And then if anyone wants to help me take that data set, with full privacy and everything like that, to create systems that we can better listen and understand each other, again, that's something that I'd be very interested in talking to people, because I really want to help people.
Awesome. Imad, thank you very much for being here. Very exciting. I'm looking forward to the release next week. Maybe it's already out once this is out. Thanks a lot for being here, and good luck to the endeavor.
Thank you very much, Yannick. Pleasure. Awesome podcast you've had. I've enjoyed listening to it.
Thank you.